This is Bhagavad Lila, 10th Canto, Nectar, Chapter 16. Krishna chastises the serpent Kaliya. Text 1. Shukamuni said, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, seeing that the Yamuna River had been contaminated by the black snake Kaliya, desired to purify the river, and thus Krishna banished Kaliya from the Yamuna. This chapter describes Sri Krishna's pastime of subduing the serpent Kaliya and giving pleasure and becoming pleased with the prayers of the Nagapatnis, the wives of Kaliya, snake wives, and banishing Kaliya and his family. King Pariksit inquired, O learned sage Shukamuni, please explain to me how Krishna chastised the serpent Kaliya within the unfathomable waters of the Yamuna. And how was it that Kaliya had been living there for so many ages? O Brahman, the unlimited personality of Godhead freely acts according to his own desires. Who could be satiated when hearing the nectar of the magnanimous pastimes Krishna performed as a coward boy in Vrindavan? The phrase in this verse, Gopal Udara Charitam, means the magnanimous Udara pastimes of Krishna the coward boy, Gopal. However, the word go in Gopal, Gopalodara Charitam, in this second pada, verse 3, the word go can also refer to the indriya, the senses of the devotee. The word Gopal then means that person who nourishes and satisfies the senses of the devotees. The word Udar, as in Damodar, means giving happiness. Putting it together, the phrase in verse 3, Gopal Udara Charitam, can mean the pastimes of Gopal Krishna bring joy and nourish the senses of the devotees, you and I. King Pariksit inquired, who could ever be satiated or filled up when tasting Krishna's pastimes, which satisfy the senses of both the hearer and they bring joy to the heart? Text 4. Shukamuni said, within the river Kalindi, Yamuna, was a small lake, a tributary to the side of the main current, inhabited by the serpent Kaliya, Kaliyarada. His fiery poison constantly heated and boiled its waters. The vapors were so poisonous rising from that lake that any birds flying it over it would fall down into it. Harivamsh says that Kaliya's lake was about 8 miles wide, situated apart from the main current, something like an inlet. Otherwise, if all the waters were polluted, it would have affected Mathura also. The wind blowing over that deadly lake carry droplets of water to the shore. Simply by coming in contact with that poisonous breeze, all vegetations and creatures on the shore died. Sounds like poisonous gas, when they use poisonous gas to kill soldiers in the war. Moving and non-moving creatures, such as trees and birds, died just by contacting the poisonous fumes of that breeze. When Krishna saw how Kaliya's serpent had polluted the Yamuna River with his terribly powerful poison, and Krishna had descended from the spiritual world to subdue such envious demons, he immediately climbed to the top of a very high kadamba tree bordering that Kaliya lake, which you can still see today on the Vrindavan Parikrama Marg. And he prepared himself for battle by tightening his belt, slapping his arms, and then Krishna jumped in to the poisonous water. How was it that this kadamba tree was still alive when all of his neighboring trees had died from the poisonous fumes? The Puranas say that once upon a time Garuda sat in this particular tree drinking some amrit. Some drops fell on the tree and made it immortal and impervious to the poisonous gases. And the kadamba tree was living with the hope of some day being blessed by the touch of Krishna's lotus feet in the future. Certainly, devotees are also living in this poisonous material world and living in their bodies, cohabiting their bodies with the poisonous neighbor called their minds, which are constantly spewing forth their poisonous, with its poisonous fumes of greed and anger and lust and envy and ninda and fault-finding and criticizing. But we're all living with the hope of being blessed by the touch of Krishna's feet in some future auspicious time. When Krishna landed in the serpent's lake, the snakes living there became extremely agitated and began breathing very heavily. The force of Krishna's entrance into the Yamuna lake caused the water to overflow on all sides, and poisonous, fearsome waves flooded the surrounding lands beside the Yamuna for a distance of 600 feet. This is not at all amazing, however, for the Supreme Lord possesses unlimited power. Ananta balasya kim tat. Vishra Chakravarti Stika. The force of Krishna jumping from the tree into the Yamuna created huge waves, which were 400 hands high. That means 50 feet high, and flooding all directions. Those fearful, poisonous waves were colored reddish-yellow due to the poison of the agitated snakes. That's really polluted water. The water was red and yellow, filled with poison. Demoniac snakes, Kali and his family. Was very thick poison, kashaya. Krishna began sporting in Kaliya's lake like a lordly elephant. Swirling his mighty arms, Krishna made the water resound in various ways, in musical ways, I would assume. When Kaliya heard these sounds, he understood that someone was trespassing in his lake. The serpent could not tolerate this and immediately came forward to meet the challenger. Tika, Krishna played in the water by swimming and producing wonderful musical sounds simply by splashing the water with his hands and arms. This is called Jal Manduk Sangeet. It's one of the 64 arts that the gopis also know very well. Kalavati Radha. Kalavati Radha and Kalaniti Shyam. They're expert dancers, singers, and musicians. Kalavati Radha, Kalaniti Shyam. As Krishna churned the water with his mighty arms, a thunderous roaring sound arose in that lake. Upon hearing these sounds, Kaliya concluded there must be some trespasser in his lake. Kaliya's snake could not bear this, so he immediately came forward. Kaliya saw that Sri Krishna, who wore yellow silken garments, was very delicate. Krishna's attractive body, shining like a glowing white cloud. Krishna's chest was bearing the beautiful mark of Srivats. Gopal's face was smiling beautifully, and Krishna's feet resembled the whirl of a lotus flower. Krishna was playing fearlessly in the water. Despite Krishna's beautifully wondrous appearance, the envious Kaliya furiously bit Krishna on the chest and then completely enwrapped him in his coils. Although the verse describes that Krishna was so incomparably beautiful and attractive, but to the enraged Kaliya he appeared just the opposite. When the members of the cowherd community, who had accepted Krishna as their dearmost friend, Tatpriya Sakha, when they saw Krishna wrapped and enveloped in the snake's coils and motionless, they became greatly disturbed. The Brijbasis had offered everything to Krishna, their selves, families, wealth, wives, and all pleasures. Seeing Krishna in the clutches of the Kaliya serpent, their intelligence became deranged by grief, lamentation, and fear, and they all collapsed, fell down on the ground. Some of the coward men and farmers were tending the grains in the fields nearby. They quickly ran there. The cows, bulls, and female calves, in great distress, called out piteously to Krishna, "Maw, maw, maw, maw." Because the water in their eyes had dried up from fear, the cows, bulls, and calves could not really weep. That's why the verse says, they fixed their eyes on Krishna and they stood still in fear as if ready to cry, but too shocked to shed tears. This is the cows and bulls and calves of Vrindavan. How much feelings, how sensitive, how much love they have for Krishna, how attracted and attached and concerned and worried they are. Appearing as simple animals, but they're the greatest of sensitive, loving devotees of the Lord. the cows and bulls and female calves of Vrindavan. They're crying out piteously to the Lord, calling out, staring at their beloved Lord Gopal, and shocked, amazed, and stunned. Suddenly in Vrindavan area there arose all three types of fearful omens in the earth, in the sky, and in the bodies of living creatures. Such omens, they announce imminent danger. What were those omens? Inauspicious signs appeared in Braj like earthquakes. Meteors were falling in the sky. Men were shivering, their bodies were shivering, and their left eyes were twitching. Although there is nothing inauspicious for Krishna, Mangala Bhagavan. But in order to indicate the lamentation of the inhabitants of Braj, the demigods, in charge of earthquakes and other disturbances, they did this. Or, it can be said, being attracted to the sweet, intimate, Madhurya mood of Braj, the demigods, out of affection, wanted to cover Krishna's Aishvarya, so they produced various omens indicating misfortune for Krishna. Because Aishvarya means he's Bhagavan, he's God, all-powerful, omnipotent. Nothing to worry, nothing to fear. But if he's just a coward boy, then these are causes of fear and trepidation to nourish his sweet Madhurya Leela. Seeing the inauspicious omens, Nanda Maharaj and other coward men were fearful, for they knew that Krishna had gone to herd the cows that day without his elder brother Balaram, because it was Balaram's birthday. Because the Brijbasis had dedicated their minds to Krishna, accepting Lala as their very life, they were completely unaware of Krishna's great power and opulence. Thus the Brijbasis concluded that these inauspicious omens indicated that Krishna had met with death. And they were overwhelmed with grief, lamentation, and fear. All the inhabitants of Vrindavan, children, women, elderly persons, they thought of Krishna just as a cow thinks of her helpless young calf. And thus these poor, suffering people rushed out of the village, intent upon finding their Krishna. Commentary, Vishwanath Chakravarti Bhat, Sarta Darshani. Observing these inauspicious omens, the Brijbasis thought Krishna had died. But how can God die? Because the word is nidanam matva. But this word in the verse, number 15, nidanam matva, nidana also means a great treasure, nidhi. Indeed, Krishna had obtained a great treasure of joyful sport in the Yamuna by playing with Kaliya. The Brijbasis were behaving just as an affectionate cow does toward her calf, her vatsa. Overwhelmed with fear and unhappiness, they rushed out of Gokul in great anxiety. The Supreme Lord Balaram, the master of all transcendental knowledge, smiled and said nothing when he saw the Brijbasis in such distress. Since Dao understood the extraordinary power of his younger brother, this word contains the name Bhagavan Madhava. Harivamsh says the word Madhav means master, Dava, of intelligence, Ma. So Madhava means master of intelligence. This phrase is being used, Bhagavan Madhava, Bala, to glorify Balaram as the master of intelligence, because he knew the power, Prabhava-gya, of Krishna's Leela Shakti. Though Balaram had the greatest affection for his younger brother, he understood that Krishna desired to cover his Aishvarya, opulence, with his Leela Shakti. Therefore, Balaram prevented Nanda and other Brijvasis from drowning themselves in the Yamuna out of grief. Balaram was laughing, Prahasya, because he thought, Krishna never cares to play with me in my form of Sheshanag, but now he's playing with this common, mundane, earthly snake named Kaliya. Oh, my younger brother. Remembering Krishna's pastimes as an ordinary mortal, Balaram smiled and said nothing, though the situation was actually far beyond tolerance. However, when Balaram smiled, the Brijvasis saw that, and they forgot their fear and lamentation, and felt that nothing unfortunate would happen. Absorbing themselves and filling themselves with the joy of Balaram's smile, the Brijvasis gave up their desire to give up their lives. The Brijvasis rushed toward the bank of the Yamuna in search of their dearmost Krishna, following the path marked by Krishna's footprints, which bore the unique signs of God, conch, disc, goat, etc. Krishna's footprints, the master of the entire coward community, were marked with the auspicious, unique marks of elephant goat, barley corn, thunderbolt flag, lotus flower, etc. Following his footprints, the Brijvasis rushed along the footpath of the Yamuna in great haste. The Brijvasis, they ignored the hoofprints of the cows and exclusively followed the footprints of Krishna. So this is sort of some metaphor, Vishnu says, that this is like the discerning and discriminating yogi who follows the path of the Vedas to attain the highest truth while rejecting all illusory appearances of truth. As the Brijvasis hurried along the bank, the path to the bank of the Yamuna, they saw from the distance Krishna was in the lake, motionless, within the coils of the black serpent. They further saw that the coward boys were lying unconscious, and the animals were standing on all sides crying out for Krishna. Seeing all this, the residents of Vrindavan were overwhelmed with anguish and confusion. This verse depicts the grief of the gopas and gopis. The Brijvasis, seeing Krishna in the clutches of the snake, they inquired from the boys, "Tell us, what happened? Did Kaliya forcibly drag young Krishna from the shore into the water? Or did Krishna jump from the bank? Was this his idea or someone else's?" Noticing that the boys were actually unconscious and thus incapable of answering, Nanda and other Brijvasis entered a state of shock and panic. When the young gopis, whose minds were constantly attached to Krishna, Gopyo anurakta manaso bhagavatyanante, Gopyo anurakta manaso bhagavatyanante, Very beautiful, the first pada of this verse. Gopyo narakta manaso bhagavatyanante tatso ridasmita viloka girasmarantya graste ahina priyatame vishaduka tapta shunyam priyavyat tiritam tadrichus trilokam. When the gopis saw Krishna within the grips of the serpents, they remembered his loving friendship, his smiling glances, and his talks with them. Burning with great sorrow, they saw the entire universe as void. The anguish of the young damsels of Braj who were attached to Krishna Madhurya Bhav is mentioned here. The verse has the word Bhagavati Anante. The word Bhagavati here means the most beautiful. And Anante means filled with unlimited qualities. So Krishna is the most beautiful person filled with unlimited qualities. Bhagavan Ananta, Ananta Bhagavan. Seeing their most beautiful Krishna, who is endowed with infinite attractive qualities, bound in the coils of the serpent, and remembering the love that Krishna had for them, his gentle smiles, his furtive glances, and his loving prattles during their amorous affairs, Smara Antya, the gopis saw the three worlds turn empty and meaningless. Due to the fire of separation from Krishna, the entire universe burned to ashes. Although the elder gopis were feeling just as much distress as she, and were pouring forth a flood of sorrowful tears, they had to forcibly hold back Mother Yashoda, whose consciousness was totally absorbed in her son Nandalal. Standing like corpses, with their eyes fixed upon Lala's face, these motherly gopis each took turns recounting the pastimes of the darling of Braj. Tasta Brajapriya Kata Katayantya Brajapriya. The darling of Braj is Brajapriya Krishna. Previous verse described the anguish and distress of the gopis in Madhurya Bhav. This verse describes the anguish and unhappiness of the elderly gopis in Vatsalya Bhav, motherly affection, parental love. Yashoda was being torn apart upon seeing her son enwrapped in the serpent's coils. Then Yashoda entered the same state that her son appeared to be in and almost fainted. When Yashoda tried to jump in the Yamuna to save her son, the elderly gopis forcibly held her back with their arms. Then they affectionately wiped the sweat and tears from Yashoda's anguished face. To revive Mother Yashoda from her trance and swoon, the elderly gopis loudly recited stories about her Yashoda Dulal, her darling, Brajapriya. The elderly gopis drowned everyone in the waves from the rivers of their lamentation. Everyone became paralyzed like corpses, seeing Krishna in the coils of Kaliya. Lord Balaram then saw that Nanda Maharaj and other coward men who had dedicated their very lives to Krishna were beginning to enter the poisonous lake of the serpent. Balaram fully knew Krishna's actual power, therefore he restrained them. He physically held Nanda and the others to keep them from jumping into the river while saying, "Listen, Pita, Gargacharya said that you will be saved from all obstacles by this son of yours. Remember this, Don't you think Krishna will be released from this danger? Just be patient. If all you coward men jump in the river and drown, then who will maintain and raise Krishna when he comes back to the shore after freeing himself from that monster? Not only that, you will be neglecting Garga's order to take care of the boy as well. This was the reasoning of Balaram. Krishna remained for some time within the coils of the serpent, imitating the behavior of an ordinary mortal. But when Krishna understood that the women, children, and other Brijbasis of his village Gokul were in acute distress because of their love for him, their only shelter and goal in life, Krishna immediately arose from the bonds of the Kaliya serpent and broke loose. Seeing that the Brijbasis had no other goal or shelter, and fully understanding their sorrow, Krishna spoke to Kaliya after remaining gripped in his coils for one muhurta, 48 minutes. Krishna said, "Listen, Kaliya, you have shown me enough of your strength. Now I will show you a little of my prowess, though I am just a cowherd boy." Then Krishna broke free from the snake and stood up straight, powerful, proud, and victorious. Vijay Krishna. As Krishna expanded his body, the coils of the serpent Kaliya were tormented, so he released the Lord. In great anger, the serpent then raised his hoods high and stood still, staring at Krishna, breathing heavily. His nostrils appeared like vessels, big pots for cooking poison, and his staring eyes and his face looked like firebrands. Thus this ugly serpent stared at Krishna. Kaliya let go of Krishna because he felt great pain by the expanding body of the Lord. Then he breathed heavily and glaring eyes. His face resembled firebrands. Again and again, Kaliya licked his lips with his bifurcated tongues as he stared at Krishna. With a glance full of terrible poisonous fire, a fiery poisonous glance. But Krishna playfully circled around Kaliya just as Garuda would play with a snake. In response, Kaliya also moved about, looking for an opportunity to bite Krishna. Krishna moved around Kaliya with such agility that Kaliya, though continuously searching this way and that for an opportunity, failed in his attempts to bite the Lord. To avoid Kaliya, Krishna continually moved in the opposite direction as the serpent. Having severely depleted the serpent's strength with his relentless circling, Sri Krishna, the origin of everything, pushed down Kaliya's raised shoulders and mounted his broad serpentine hoods. Thus Krishna, the original master of all fine arts, began to dance, his lotus feet deeply reddened by the touch of the numerous jewels upon the serpent's heads. Many rubies were on his head, reflecting on the bottom of Krishna's feet. Harivamsa tells that with one hand, Krishna was able to push down Kaliya's raised head, which had gradually become tired from his relentless circling. Mounting the snake's broad heads, Krishna began to dance. Krishna's lotus feet became red like copper from touching the numerous jewels upon the heads of Kaliya. as a dancer sometimes demonstrates his expertise by dancing on different objects, such as dishes, Krishna showed that he is the original guru of all fine arts. Guru Kala, Kala Adi Guru, by skillfully dancing on the unsteady moving surface of the serpent's hoods. In addition, Krishna's remarkable display of dancing skill was performed to please all the young damsels of Braj, who at this stage in a relationship were seriously falling in love with Krishna. In other words, as young boys often do in front of their girlfriends when their love is just budding, Krishna was showing off. The damsels of Braj, they were seriously falling in love, purva rag, intense attachment before actually meeting and enjoying together, preliminary loving attraction and attachment, purva rag. Seeing Krishna's dancing, his servants and the heavenly planets, Gandharvas, Siddhas, sages, Charanas, and wives of the demigods, Devavadva, immediately came to Braj. With great pleasure, they began accompanying Krishna's dancing by playing drums, mridangas, panavas, and anakas. They also offered Krishna songs and flowers and praises. In the beginning, Krishna was dancing even without musical accompaniment, by personally calling out the syllables or the tals and bowls, tai tai, tai tai, taka taka tai, tik tak tik tak tai, tai tai, ta ta ta, ta 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 ta, to imitate the sound of musical instruments, bowls and tals. The impression is that Krishna, upon seeing the gopis, was considering, I will meet the gopis in the future, and together we will dance like this. My dear King Parikshit, Kali had 101 prominent heads, and when one of them would not bow down, Krishna, who inflicts punishment on cruel wrongdoers, would smash that stubborn head by striking it with his feet. Then as Kaliya entered his death throes, he began wheeling his heads around and vomiting ghastly blood from his mouth and nostrils. The serpent thus experienced extreme pain and misery. The word Shataika in this verse means 101 chief heads, because verse 30 of this chapter mentions 1,000 heads. So Kali had 1,000 heads, and 101 were primary, main ones. When one head would not bow down, Krishna would suddenly smash that stubborn head with his feet. Blood flowed profusely from Kaliya's mouth and nostrils, exuding poisonous waste from his eyes. Kaliya would occasionally dare to raise up one of his hoods, which would breathe heavily with anger. Then Krishna would dance on that hood and subdue it, forcing it to bow down with his lotus foot. The demigods took each of these exhibitions as an opportunity to worship Krishna with showers of flowers. When Kali would dare to raise one of his hoods, Krishna would dance on it and force it down with the blows from his feet. And then the Gandharvas and other celestials would shower flowers. Being pleased, Krishna subdued the serpent for the benefit of the devas. My dear Lord, my dear King Parikshit, Lord Krishna's wonderful, powerful dancing trampled and broke all of Kali's 1,000 hoods. Then the serpent, profusely vomiting blood from his mouth, finally recognized Krishna to be the eternal personality of Godhead. Purusham Puranam Narayanam Tamaranam Manasar Jagama. The Supreme Master of all moving and non-moving beings, Sri Narayan. Thus, within his mind, Kaliya took shelter of the Lord. Tika. Though the seed of devotion, Bhakti Bijam, had previously been planted in Kaliya's heart by the mercy of his wives, who were actually devotees, who were actually exalted devotees of Krishna, it could not sprout because of Kaliya's cruel behavior due to his previous aparads. Just as seeds sown on barren ground cannot sprout. However, by the purifying touch of Krishna's lotus feet, Kaliya's offense was neutralized, and the seed of devotion in his heart, received from his wives, began to sprout. Kaliya remembered, or realized, that he was now fighting an opponent who is thousands of times stronger than his arch-rival Garuda, and therefore this person must be Narayan, the Supreme Lord. Kaliya thought, this is the person my wives had previously described as being approachable by bhakti. Taking the position of my guru, he has placed his feet on my head. Then, by displaying his extraordinary power, he made me realize what a fool I am to think that I am God. Now I will take shelter of him. Purusham Puranam Narayanam Tam Aranam Manasa Jagama. So this is the guru-disciple relationship. By the mercy of his wives who were devotees, they implanted the seed of bhakti bijam in his heart, which comes either from Krishna or from the devotee, or both. So the beginning initial guru was the wives, the Nagapatnis, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Yagya, Jaya Nagapatni Gan. There's a song there, all glories to the wives of the Brahmins, Yagyapatnis and Nagapatnis, and all glories to the wives of the snake king Kaliya. So, but that seed of bhakti bijam, couldn't fructify or manifest as devotion to the Lord because of his aparads and offenses. But then the Lord accepted Kaliya as his disciple and put his feet, his merciful feet, on his head, which neutralized all the aparads and contamination and purified the disciple Kaliya. And all the bad things came out of his mind and heart and body. And then he understood, yes, I'm not God, I'm not the supreme enjoyer and controller, but Krishna is. Now I will surrender to him. Guru Pada Shraya, Krishna Sharanam, Sri Krishna Sharanam Mama. When Kaliya's wives saw how their husband, the serpent, had become so fatigued from the excessive weight of Krishna, who carries the entire universe in his abdomen, and how their husband Kaliya's umbrella-like hoods had been shattered by the striking of Krishna's heels, they felt great distress, compassion for their loving husband. With their clothing, ornaments, and hair scattered in disarray, they approached Sri Krishna. Previously, the wives, Nagapatnis, were disgusted with their husband, because of his demoniac activities. And they were thinking, let this atheist husband of ours be killed by Krishna. Then, as widows, we will be able to fully engage in Krishna's service. But when Kaliya's wives saw the symptoms of sanchari bhav, emotions of humility, remorse, regret, doubt, indifference to his suffering condition, manifest in their husband's facial expressions and other bodily features, they thought, look, just see how fortunate we are. Our husband Kali has now become a Vaishnava. Therefore, we must try to save him. Feeling affection for the repentant husband and being severely distressed because of Kaliya's miserable condition, the wives joined together and approached Krishna. The minds of these ladies was very much disturbed. These saintly ladies placed their children before them and bowed down to Krishna, the Lord of all creatures, laying their bodies flat upon the ground. They desired liberation of their sinful husband, and they took shelter of Krishna, the Supreme Lord and Giver of ultimate shelter. And with folded hands in prayer, they approached Krishna. Kaliya's wives offered obeisances to Krishna to show respects. It is understood that in Kaliya's lake there was an island where Kaliya held Krishna in his coils. The inhabitants of Braj could see this. The wives placed their children before them to invoke Krishna's compassion. The wives of Kaliya's serpent said, the punishment this offender has been subjected to is certainly just. After all, you have incarnated within this world to curb down envious and cruel persons. You are so impartial that you look equally upon your enemies and your own sons. For when you impose a punishment on a living being, you know it to be for his ultimate benefit. Commentary by Vishwanath Sartadarshini. The Nagapatnis began praising Krishna by first approving of his punishment in order to appease Krishna's anger. The Nagapatnis prayed, one must certainly bear the responsibility of his wicked deeds in the form of violence to the innocent and devoted. Krishna, you protect the good and punish the wicked without any partiality. You look equally, Tulya Dristi, upon your enemies and your own sons. Although Hiranyakashipu was your enemy, you protected his son Prahlad. Yet you killed Narak Asura, even though he was your own son, produced from Bhumi when you became Varaha. You do not harbor any animosity while punishing the wicked, because you know it will bring the ultimate benefit. After relieving them of their demoniac nature by hellish suffering, you reward them the eternal happiness of liberation. Yagapatnis go on. What you have done, my lord, is actually mercy for us, since the punishment you give to the wicked certainly drives away all their contamination. Indeed, this conditioned soul, our husband, is so sinful that he has assumed the body of a snake. Your anger toward him is obviously understood as your mercy. Due to the grievous sins, our husband attained the body of a snake and displayed anger and other bad qualities. My Lord, did our husband carefully perform austerities in a previous life with his mind free of pride and full of respect for others? Is that why you are pleased with him in this life? Or did our husband in some previous existence carefully execute religious duties with compassion for all living beings? And is that why you, the life of all living beings, are now satisfied with him? Comment. The Nagapatnis prayed, "Previously we said that punishment was mercy, but this case is different. Though an object is very difficult to attain, one can easily attain it if he has previously done pious activities." In this way, they reason. Thus concludes part 1 of chapter 16. Krishna chastises the serpent Kaliya. Part 2 will carry on from verse 35 on to the end of the chapter.
Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Shama.